Feedback is growth, not failure. You can only ever be enough, because that's all of you that there ever is. And will you want this a year from now? There's some insights that I want to share with you in this week's episode of Burnoutology as we take another break from the 200 truths. Some of you have spotted, and you've been in my emails to say, where's the podcast been for the last couple of weeks? And some of that has been because of life, and some of that has been because I had overfilled my diary, and some of it is because I said I wouldn't fill my diary, and some of it has just been because I didn't even, I got into where do I even start with it? I've got so much that I want to say, where do I go? But we're back, and I thought we would take a break from the truth. We're moving into the middle of February, so we're what, 6 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks into a new year. More and more people that I'm speaking to are running on empty, are exhausted, are struggling. Some have found a complete new lease of life. Some are still shedding and letting go. Some are still trying to find their feet a little bit. There's this huge mix of stuff that's going on. If you've been here a while, you will know that I love a bit of the woo, right? I love a bit of the woo and the weird and the wonderful. And I'm always kind of looking at new beginnings. I'm always looking at what I can release and what I can let go and what I can change. And more I have been recognizing that I'm just more attuned to monthly cycles and annual cycles as we go, right? I live in the middle of nowhere. I'm much more able to see and feel as I go on my dog walks what is happening outside the house, right? What season we're in. It's very, very visible where I live. And particularly because we live surrounded by farmers' fields, it's very easy to see what season we are in. When are we planting? When are we growing? When are we harvesting? And when are we just leaving things to release and just be as they are? We know that end of December, everybody's talking about setting new intentions and starting the new year in a positive way, right? We basically get told that we're supposed to come into January as fixed and fabulous humans, ready for the year ahead. And yet many of us are just running on empty, still in midwinter, all the darkness, low energy, low mood, just needing to sleep. And some of that is because actually we have this lunar calendar as well. So from next week and throughout February for the next couple of weeks, we go into a new lunar cycle. We go into a new calendar year, into a new energy from that perspective. And over the last few weeks, I have been, shedding and letting go again, and I've had some of these realizations and I've had some of these questions. And one of the questions that has been coming up for me a lot really since the new year, right? Since we started 2026 is, will I want this a year from now? Now, year from now, I will have started, it will kick off in June, I will have started the next Master Burnout Coach training program. That next cohort starts in January. And all I have been able to think about and focus on for probably the last 6 months really is how I want that program to look. So I've been thinking much more long term. What do I want from that January 2027 cohort? Who do I want in that January 2027 cohort? how much time and energy do I want to give to it? And it keeps coming back for me that that's where I want the majority of my focus to go. And for this cohort that started in November, I'm loving it, right? That's my Mondays. My Mondays are filled with Master Burnout Coach training and participants and having one-to-ones with some of the people in that training. And that is the most amazing way for me to start my week. I also know that if a year from now I want the majority of my time and energy and attention to go on to the January 2027 cohort of the Master Burnout Coach, things need to be changing this year in order to allow that to happen. And so my question is that, you know, I've been looking around my house, I've been looking in my wardrobe, I've been looking at what I'm eating, I've been looking at how I'm sleeping, I've been looking at my exercise and my sleep patterns. I've been looking at all of that with this question: will I want this a year from now? Will I want to wear particular outfits a year from now? Will I want to be attending particular events? Will I want to be showing up in some of the rooms that I've been showing up in, if that's going to, I don't know, either take energy that I need for the Master Burnout Coach program, or to give me energy that might help me fuel some of that thing? And we'll have spoken about, if you've been with me for a while listening to Frazzled, my previous podcast, you'll know that I talk a lot about energy angels and energy vampires, right? The things that give us energy and the things that drain us of energy. Now, this isn't just people. It can be tasks, habits, behaviours, mindset, thoughts, foods, clothes, energies, music, films. It's everything in our life, everything that we put into our body, the conversations that we have, the people that we spend time with, all of that stuff is either giving us energy or draining us of energy. Now, if I want to be more focused on a group of people that I'm going to be spending 12 months with, I need things that are going to give me energy. So from small things to looking at my wardrobe, what clothes make me feel good? What clothes make me feel comfortable? What drinks am I drinking? How am I spending my time? What am I watching? And even, I suppose, intuitively, like I love a bit of, should we say, crap TV, right? So I love a bit of that. It's mindless viewing that I can just watch and I suppose forget about the rest of the world. But all some of that viewing is just not good for me because it does become an obsession, right? It's all I can think about. It's all that's taken out of my mind. And actually, some of the people in it are not good for my energy, right? They frustrate me. They wind me up. I've been unfollowing some people on my socials. In person, they're amazing people that I love being around, but there's something on their social feeds that doesn't feel resonant for me. There's something that has been coming up where I don't feel good. And I've questioned it. Do I not feel good because they're bringing something up for me? You know, I've played that kind of, what is this bringing up for me? Like, what are they mirroring for me? And some of it, actually, I just don't like the vibe of their socials. I'm no longer following them because actually I don't want it a year from now. I don't want to be talking about my business, talking about my work, trying to create this new standard, changing the narrative around burnout, and then feeling completely depleted every time I go onto my social feed because some of the things that are glaringly shining back at me. Now, potentially, without this question, will I want this a year from now? I'd have just carried on doing it. It's like, well, it's just a few minutes, Derek. Just scroll on by, right? You don't have to just scroll on. You know, you can just scroll on by, right? That's a decision that we have. But even just consciously making that distinction between, yes, I could just keep scrolling on by, or I could make a proactive choice and just delete that from my feed in the first place. Because will I still want to be seeing this a year from now? So that's my, I suppose, my first question for you today. Will you want this a year from now? What could you be looking at in your life around this? And when we talk about burnoutology, right, burnoutology is, if I look at the ecosystem of what burnoutology is, this is 12 years of my life, of my learning, of studying, joining the dots of burnout, understanding the burnout equation, that toxicity minus sense of self equals burnout. Now, seeing somebody come up on my social feed, we may not necessarily know, it's got toxic. But if how it changes how I talk to myself or how I feel is not positive, then actually it's contributing to some of that toxicity. It's causing me to step away from myself a little. The dots, the pieces of the puzzle that create burnoutology are about the neuroscience and the psychology and the somatics and the evidence-based lived experience. That's burnoutology. An entire ecosystem of everything that I've learned over 12 years. This is what makes my work different. This is what makes my view of burnout different. This is why I challenge every time I see time management techniques come up on my feed, right? Oh, burnout, you know, we manage burnout by, you know, colour coding our diaries. Oh, we don't. Will I want this a year from now? And it's not just the thought process, is it? It's about how we feel. I had a few days ago, I'd been out to an amazing event in London, sat around a table with amazing people, loved it. Okay, my introverted self doesn't always like kind of intimate dinner parties, but we were able to get into some really deep and meaningful conversations, and that stuff is what fills me up. So even with the train delays afterwards, I didn't get home till like 1:30 in the morning. I'm usually tucked up in bed by 9, but even with that, I felt energized. I didn't feel drained on the train on the way home. I could deal with the train issues, I could deal with everything. But I'd already booked for the Friday a healing session, right? With some Reiki and some sound healing and some vocal sound healing. And I'd booked this in thinking, I'll do London on the Thursday. I've got a beautiful session booked in for Friday. It's all going to feel lovely. It was one of the hardest sessions that I've ever sat in. My body was literally screaming during this session, crying out for sleep and rest and really, really deep healing in a way that I have like never felt before. I've never had any of that in a session. And then I spent most of the weekend just sleeping, right? My body needed sleep. We did also have a lovely walk around. My partner and I, we went to a gorgeous country estate and we walked around the gardens and walked around the house and did some lovely stuff to replenish. But my body has been tired since. But it's also felt more rested. Again, when we think about this, will I want this a year from now? So often we spend that time in our heads, right? We think logically about that stuff. We weigh up the pros and cons, don't we? We do lists of benefits and we, you know, do I, don't I. We weigh up the pros and cons of things. We want to think about it logically. We want to think about it psychologically. And yet what burnoutology tells us, what all of this work that I've been doing for the last 12 years tells us, is we cannot ignore the somatics. We cannot ignore the neuroscience. We cannot ignore what's happening in our nervous system with all of this stuff. We cannot ignore what's happening in our bodies. And so logically, yeah, if we weigh up the pros and cons of the things that we still want to be doing a year from now, logically it might make sense because the pros outweighed the cons. So why wouldn't we keep on doing this? But if our body is literally screaming out for something else, if it's giving us the signs, it's giving us the messages, and we continue to ignore that, whether it is a moment of our jaw clenching, whether it is a moment of our shoulders tensing, whether it is a fleeting moment of kind of butterflies in the stomach or some kind of feeling like that, all of those things are signs. And so many of us have either been trained or conditioned, or we've learned that those bodily signals, those somatic signals, all of those signals that are coming from our nervous system are to be ignored because there's no logic in them. I found this so much when I was in my in-house HR career. I have always been like highly intuitive. I can walk into a room, some of my friends laugh at me about this, I'm like, oh, I should listen to Kelly in the first place, but I can walk into a room and my body just knows, right, where, who the right people are in the room that I should be talking to, the ones that I should be staying away from. And sometimes my friends are like, oh, you know, I was chatting to someone, so I'm just like, oh, no, bad vibes. And they're like, no, they were great. We had this really great conversation. And then 3 months or 6 months or even, you know, years later, they're like, oh, people, why would you listen? Like, we should have known. And in my in-house days, I could just know. I could say in 6 months' time, if we recruit this person, this is going to be the issue. Now, of course, from a legal perspective, sometimes they were the highest scorers in an interview. They'd be like, well, the highest scorers telling me we need to recruit. I'm like, well, these will be the issues. So these are some of the things that we need to put in place to stop these issues from happening. And sometimes the managers wouldn't put the things in place. And 6 months later, they'd be knocking on my door going, Kelly, you were right. We've got issues with this person. What do we do now? Or they'd come with lever arch files of things that they'd never discussed with any of these people. I'd be like, here's our lever arch file of all the evidence. Like, now can you sack them? Like, no, you didn't manage them in the way that I said you needed to manage. Not all of those things I was able to provide the logic for, but I could very clearly and very easily say, this is what's going to happen if we don't put these things in place. And in the lead up to my first burn, actually, it was that intuitive side that switched itself off. Because I kept ignoring it. And I know I've said this countless times before, but all of the signs of burnout were there. I just kept ignoring them. I let my head take over. And many of us do that, don't we? We allow our head to take over. So also as part of this, will I want this a year from now? I've already started to think, well, what does my messaging need to look like? What do I need to be saying and doing? And who do I need to be speaking to in order to be getting the people that I want on the Marta Burnout Coach Programme in January 2027? And so I've been working with a woman around my messaging and really trying to. I'm not perfect with it by any stretch of the imagination, and actually it's taken me way out of my comfort zone with a lot of the messaging that I need to do, and I'm still not getting it right. And last week, I had a full review of my messaging. She's looked at my LinkedIn, she's looked at my Instagram, she's asking me about my big goals, she's looking at my offer pages, she's looking at my lead magnet, right? How do I get people into my email list in the first place? And I have a quiz, right? How burnout aware are you? And she's been looking at how everything works, starting with, well, I suppose working backwards from it, right? What's What's the Master Burnout Program? And how do I then need to work backwards from now in order to get me where I want to be a year from now? And she's been giving me feedback on all of this stuff. Literal, like, Loom videos of this is what's not working on your LinkedIn, this is what's not working on your website, this is what's not working on your Instagram, this is what's not working with your quiz, this is what's all this. And I cannot tell you how difficult I have found that feedback. Because as a recovering control freak perfectionist who has experienced two periods of burnout, whose default is still people pleasing and trying to be perfect and show that I'm perfect because perfect is safe. Some of you may have joined me in the Burnout Coach Collective last week where we did a session on burnout and perfectionism. It's made quite a lot of us feel quite uncomfortable, right? Understanding that actually perfectionism is a survival mechanism. Perfectionism is as a result of fear. And literally to have a spotlight shone on what I'm saying, what I'm doing, how I'm trying to grow my audience, how I'm trying to sell my training in order for that training to be able to change the narrative behind burnout. Having that level of scrutiny and criticism at varying different points has made me feel like the biggest failure on the planet. Because there hasn't been any fluff, there hasn't been any external validation, there hasn't been, oh my God, Kelly, you're so amazing, we love this. She's been really straight and blunt and to the point, this isn't working, you need to do more of this, you need to do more of this, change this, do that, say this, add this, do this stuff. And it's been really bloody hard. Because again, somewhere underneath all of that perfectionism for all of those years, somewhere underneath those two periods of burnout, somewhere I learned that feedback was criticism, and criticism was highlighting where you were failing. And over the last week, and I'm 45 years old now, right? It's probably should have lasted before now. But over the last week, instead of that, there's actually feedback is not failure, it's growth. And I'm somebody who loves to learn, I'm always learning. Again, for those of you that have been here for a while, you know that I'm always learning, I'm always training, I'm always trying to develop, I'm always trying to improve. I am a cyclical being. I know that one week of the month I'm really fired up and I want to do stuff. One week of the month I'm learning and letting go. One week of the month I'm decluttering. One week of the month I'm full of ideas and I want to bring all of that together. That's a constant cycle of learning, letting go, decluttering, being. Learning, letting go, decluttering, being. And yet when it's staring you in the face, when somebody like Kelly, this is what you need to be changing. This isn't good enough if you want to be here. This is what needs to change if this is your big goal for 12 months time. I've hated that level of scrutiny. And I've had to realise that feedback is growth, not failure. Because will I want a year from now to not have had the people that I want on my Master Burnout Coach program, because I was afraid to make the changes today that I need to make in order to change my messaging, in order to allow that to happen? Of course I wouldn't. That's the failure. The feedback isn't the failure. The feedback is the growth. But previous me would have thought, well, I'm just being criticised and I'm just not going to do it anymore. Because when you're in that perfectionism state, if you are that people pleaser, that perfection, if you're living in constant fear, if you're living in that constant survival mode, any kind of feedback, any kind of criticism feels like a threat, right? Somebody's shining a light on you, basically saying you're not good enough. So we hide from that. We amplify the stuff that's brilliant, right? We amplify the stuff that is the bright light, this is where I'm perfect. Hey, everybody, look at me, this is where I'm brilliant. and we hide under a bush somewhere the stuff that we need to be developing. So we don't want people to see that. We don't want people to think that we can't communicate properly. We don't want people to think that we can't train people properly. We don't want people to think that our messaging isn't right. We don't want people to think that we're not good enough. So we shine the light on our strengths, and everything else we hide somewhere else, because I want the world to see that stuff. And this has been my final realization of the week. We can only ever be enough. Because the you that is enough today, that's all the you there is. The you that there is today is all that there is. Because today is all we have, right now is all I have. I don't have 12 months from now. That's a dream, that's a vision, that's a goal. But all I have right now is this version of me. All you have right now is that version of you. Again, for many of us that have experienced burnout, many of us that have been living in this state of perfectionism, many of us that have been living in a state of fear and wanting external validation and needing to feel and be enough, either through qualifications or experiences or certificates or job titles or promotions or money in the bank. I'll be enough when this thing happens. I'll be enough when I've got the next certificate. I'll be enough when I've got the next qualification. I'll be enough when I've got the next accreditation. I'll be enough when I've got my new kitchen or my new car or whatever it is it might look like. We need to realise that we are enough now. Because the you that there is now is all there is. And if you could sit with that and feel that and experience that for the course of the next year, allowing all of the feedbacks to come, not as failure, but as growth. But if today and tomorrow and the day after and every single day for the next year, you just knew that you were enough, what would be different for you a year from now? Would you want that a year from now? Would you want to sit with the version of you that is enough a year from now? I'm going to leave you with that. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for joining me. If you have not yet looked at how burnout aware you are, do head to kellysimper.com. Click on the start here. Understand how burnout aware you are. How burnout aware you are for yourself. How burnout aware you are for your teams. How burnout aware you are for your clients. Burnout awareness is how we solve the burnout equation. Burnout awareness is how we understand the ecosystem of burnoutology. So go find out how burnout aware you are, kellysimper.com, click on start here. I'll be back with you again for another episode of Burnoutology next week. Have an amazing week. Take care. Bye-bye.